This is File 69. This is Jane McMillan, and I am interviewing Laura Hawks Flores about Rotary. The date today is December 4th, 2013, and we'll start with a brief genealogical background.
What is your name?
My name is Laura Flores, as you mentioned, and it was originally Laura Salas, and
Thank you. Your birthday?
February 15th, 1934.
And your birthplace?
That was Antwerp, Belgium.
And I believe that you said your mother was Belgian?
Yes, my mother was Belgian and my father Argentine. So we traveled back and forth. My brother was born in Argentina and I in Antwerp.
What was your brother's name?
Saturnino.
Oh, how do you spell that one?
S-A-T-U-R-N-I-N-O. It's a good Argentine name.
And yes,
it
is.
We have a number of Saturninos in the family, but it doesn't go very well here in this country.
It's an unusual name. When did you actually come over here?
Well, we went on the USS Uruguay, an American ship from the Moore McCormick line, leaving in December 40 and arriving January 6th in New York. And I just found our names on the manifest of the ship, which was kind of fun to do.
Now, I believe that you lived elsewhere, and I can't find it right now. But when did you come here to Lakeville?
Well, my brother was the first one to come to Lakeville. We arrived in January 41, and he was here by February 41, not speaking a word of English.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in Lakeville for 3.5 years at Indian Mountain, 4 years at Hotchkiss, and I was 1 year in Lakeville at Indian Mountain. And then I really didn't move here until 82. I built a house in Lakeville on Route 112, and my husband had died. I had 2 sons, and I wanted a place that would be good for them, for us as a family. So we came back up to Lakeville.
And I believe you opened a business in 1982?
Yes, Northwest Computer Service. I had been in the world of computers since 1959, working with IBM for a number of years, and then having my own firm in Westchester first called Hawks Microprocessing, and then when I moved up here, it was Northwest Computer Service.
When did you join Rotary?
That was in 1987 when women were first invited to join Rotary, and I was invited by Bob Estabrook. There was one other woman at the time, Kathy Boughton, mm-hmm. and she did not last long in Rotary. I think she
one
was
year.
Too busy
yeah.
or so. But I've been in there since 87, and we're now 2013, so I am now one of their old members.
Senior members.
Senior members, thank you.
Why did you join? Was it for the business aspect?
Well, there was always that, but technically we're not supposed to talk about our businesses in Rotary. I liked the fact that there were so many possibilities for service within Rotary, so many international possibilities, and that really attracted me.
At the time that you joined, your category would have been computers?
Computer consultant, yes.
Were there any other computer consultants?
At that time, no.
No. You always were an unusual lady. You became
you.
President in 1997. How did that come about?
Well, you know, every organization has ups and downs. It has really flourishing periods and not so flourishing periods. And actually, there is a process for preparing oneself to be president, but no one had accepted that responsibility, and all of a sudden, two of the members came to me and said, Laura, would you please be president? And I said, we're not doing well. I wonder whether we shouldn't even close the Rotary group. And they said, no, 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 we promise we'll support you. So a number of us just became very, very active and brought the club back to flourishing. Mm-hmm. We got 14 new members that year, which I think was a first.
Mm-hmm.
And we did many good things. So that's how I came to be president. And even though I was president, I was able to take a 7-week break to go down to Brazil with a group from Rotary called the Group Study Exchange.
Tell me about that, please.
That's really very interesting. It's one of the offerings of Rotary. One Rotary member is a leader, and then there are 4 non-Rotarian business people. And they go together as a group to another district of Rotary somewhere else in the world. Our group went to the area called Minas Gerais, which is General Mines in northern Brazil.
I'm just going to do General Mines because I won't be able to spell it.
General Mines in Brazil. And we were there. Our group was had a long stay of 7 weeks. And the way it works is this. Before our departure, the businesses or the professions of the people in the group are made known to the group where we are going, and they see to it that each week each member of the group has a professional visit with a counterpart in that country. So that's very interesting. And we had nurses, we had a woman who works in local politics. We had a little bit of everything in our group, a nurse. So they arranged ahead of time for these professional visits. And that worked out very well, I thought. And each of us were housed in the house of a Rotarian down there. And then each week we schlepped to another town in the area and started all over again. And in the meantime, we were shown whatever special things were in that area, whether it was a museum. For instance, in one place it was a museum of special semi-precious stones that could be schools or orphanages. We visited a little bit of everything, certainly hospitals, and found out many things, many ways in which the Rotary clubs were different. For instance, most of them met in the evenings, and they owned their own buildings, and they maintained their own buildings. And it was much more a family affair. Since we went in the evening, the families could more easily go. So that was quite a difference from the way Rotary operates here. And it was really fascinating from many points of view.
I can see where it would be. Now, as a president, what were your duties? Were they local? Were they district? Were they international?
A little bit of everything. Yes, we had to. Rotary, like any other good organization, has an MO, a modus operandi, which sort of dictates how meetings are run and what we're trying to do. Where each club is encouraged to do something on the local level, the national level, and the international level. And that can be anything that we find is necessary or important. And I remember one year, for instance, we gave to the towns that our club includes, we gave that traveling unit, whose name I can't remember, that is used for the bandwagon and so forth.
The gazebo?
It's sort of a gazebo, yes.
But it's
on wheels.
Yes, on
and
wheels.
It goes from town to town as they need it for some celebration. We can often find it at special days in front of the Scoville Memorial Library.
Yes.
And that was nice. That meant a need. And, of course, we work hard on scholarships. And we have not only scholarships for attendance at university, but we also have what we call welcome home scholarships, trying to help students who may not go to college, but they need some training in their fields, whether it be nail polishing or automotive training or so.
And this is for, I'm going to use the term adults, but this is for older than university people.
Well, not necessarily older than university, because if a student has gone to high school and finished and not gone to college, they may want their automotive training.
Okay.
And so anyone who has finished high school and is eligible. And it can go even for helping with gasoline expenses to get to a study.
Mm-hmm.
So those have been popular. We also have done a lot with students. Rotary has a youth exchange student, which means that we will send one of our students from our local high school to another country. They don't always get to choose just which country. They're given a choice of among two or three possibilities because there must be a student from that other country that wants to come here. So it is really an exchange. And I always admire those young people because they are high school age and they come for 1 year to a different country that perhaps they've never been to. And they have to live with other families who may function in a very different way. They have to study in English at the local high school. So I always admire the young people. Now, things have become a little more difficult by way of international travel and all the visas and whatnot that are required. But we're trying to get into that again.
Oh, good.
And I think we may. Another thing we've done with students, we did for a number of years, is have what's called an Interact Club. It's a Rotary-sponsored organization with young people, and they are encouraged to do the same things we do, which is to find some kind of way in which they can serve the local community and the international community as well. And so they have to plan their own little fundraisers, and they do very well. In fact, sometimes they do better than the senior club does. But there was a very active group at the local Housatonic Valley Regional High School under the leadership of one of the Rotarians, and she is now retired from that position. So right now, we don't have the Interact Club, but it's something I hope we'll get going again.
Now, Jack Kuhn, what was his connection?
He was... Rotary is organized with clubs at the local level, and then there are areas within a district. We are one of seven clubs within a district. And he was the district leader for the youth exchange program.
Ah.
So he, at that time, he really had a very extensive youth exchange program. Some years there were 20 to 28, as many as 28 students in the district from other countries. And he was in charge of seeing that all their paperwork, their permissions, etc., were squared away, that they all had good housing plan for them here, and he also saw to it that they had chances to get together for social occasions and so forth, because sometimes, for a while, they feel most at home with other foreign students.
Certainly, certainly, because they're all sharing the same unusual experience.
Yes.
What was the connection between Rotary and Camp Sloan?
Well, for a long time we had John Het Bavny, who was head of Camp Sloan, and he was a Rotarian, and so sometimes we used their facility for a picnic or something of that nature, or we would have a luncheon there, and we sometimes helped receive in our homes the young counselors, international counselors.
Yes, I remember that, because Foster would go to the picnic, and then in a couple of weeks, Jack Kuhn would say, well, now, Foster, wouldn't you like to have a counselor from Camp Sloan for a day?
Yes.
And so that's why I asked about Jack Kuhn and also about Camp Sloan. What is your view for Rotary for the future? Where do you think it's going?
Well, as I said, we, as a club, have gone through ups and downs. We are now on the up climb again. Several of us are making a concerted effort to do more, communicate more with the community, to do things more with other clubs that, after all, have the same ends in mind, and to just make ourselves known better in the community and to get younger people, which is our problem in this area. So we are working hard to rebuild it, and we're doing some important things. For instance, right now with this Philippines disaster, there's an organization called Shelterbox that was started in England and is now associated directly with Rotary International that provides very large tents housing 10 people with partitions for family organization that provides cooking, all the things they need, two types of stoves, all the pots and pans, blankets, things for children, water purification, really subsistence type things. And they each cost $1,000. There is no expense that if one contributes $1,000, it goes entirely to the shelter box.
There's no overhead expenses.
There's no overhead at all. And we have, as a club, agreed to donate $4,000, which is four shelter boxes. We have encouraged four or five individuals to make gifts of shelter boxes, and we have received some monies from the communities. So we're at the 10,000 mark now.
Wonderful.
In a space of a few weeks. And as soon as we get the last pledges in, we'll send that money directly to Shelter Box and know that 10 boxes are on their way.
Oh, that's wonderful.
To the Philippines.
That's wonderful.
So we can react in those ways, and I feel good about that.
As you should. It's a very, very worthwhile organization, service above self, and it is so important for reacting immediately to all sorts of catastrophes that happen throughout the world.
Well, when something like that happens, we all say, I want to help, but how?
Yeah.
If you send money, to whom? If you try to send clothing or food, that's very, very difficult. This way, we know what is being sent by an organization that does nothing but, and we know that they are delivered there. Sometimes there are tent cities. I know that in one of the disasters in India, they sent over 30,000. They had, which means that, you know, a third of a million people are housed. And those tents are said to last for 6 months, but actually some people have lived in them as long as 4 years.
Oh, my word.
So it's incredible. And the organization works with local authorities to see that there is water, that there is sanitation, that there are, you know, there's room for these tent cities and so forth. So it's really well planned and well organized.
It sounds it. Before we close, is there anything that you would like to add about your perception of Rotary?
I think that Rotary, like every other organization, is finding suffering some difficulties. Many people have dropped out because of financial reasons, or they have to take second jobs, which prevent them. But the spirit is always there, and Rotary finds a way to get around its difficulties and still provide very interesting possibilities and services.
Thank you so much for your information and telling us more about Rotary.
Well, you're very welcome indeed.